Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest had a very successful corporate America career working for companies like the Ford Motor Company. He's a multi-state franchise owner. He also routinely co-hosts the podcast show Hire Yourself, and he is widely considered one of the world's top franchise consultants with one of the top franchise networks in franchise, Mr. Pete Gilfillan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Awesome. I'm glad to have you on.
Oh, I'm excited to be here with you.
So you grew up pretty entrepreneurial. What was it like growing up in an entrepreneurial family?
Well, my father and grandfather were Ford dealers. And so my dad was that local Ford dealer. And my dad was tough. He wanted us to learn to work hard. And so as the son of a car dealer, one, he had me work at the dealership. So I would show up and he would have me detail car and go move cars and all that kind of stuff. One weekend, he decided that I was going to be at the age of 16, going to paint the inside of the whole body shop. So I didn't know anything about painting. He said, here's a power wash. I want you to spray everything down and then I want you to paint this. I'll never forget. That's just kind of the way my dad was. He wanted me to learn how to become an entrepreneur. So it was good. And he taught me to go out there and ask for it. So I played sports in high school. And so my father would literally say, go up to your coaches and tell them that your dad can help them get a car. So he had me selling or helping him sell at an early age.
Ah, that's awesome. That reminds me of my family. We started a small lemonade company and getting the kids to learn how to ask and negotiate and manage the operations. It's skills that I hope carries them throughout their whole life. But oh my gosh, in franchising, no one necessarily says, I'm going to get into franchising. In fact, franchising generally finds you. And so, Pete, I was curious, how did franchising find you?
Yeah, so Ford is, in its simplest form, a franchise, although you don't buy it from a standpoint, you are awarded the Ford franchise. So it's a little different than the traditional franchise. And so I grew up being a family member. My dad was the Ford dealer. But then out of college, I worked for Ford for 17 years. And one of the things I was responsible for was running very large markets. So I had a team of 75 people and I ran a market with 600 dealers. And so they were franchise dealers. And I really liked that aspect that they were dealers. They were great business people. Car dealers are just absolutely amazing. They have to work very hard. It's a very complex business. And so I worked for Ford and then ultimately worked for Terex. I ran their global sales, which Terex is the third largest production construction OEM, I guess would be the best way to say it. So I worked for that and I got sick of the corporate world. It just got to be too much. I had a young family. We were moving, too much travel, too much pressure. So ultimately, I just gave it up, started deciding what I wanted to do next. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur like my father and grandfather. And so I bought the rights to a large master franchise in the junk rule space, specifically Junk King. And so I bought that and that's how I got started in franchising.
It's incredible. I didn't know that Ford Motor Company operated under that framework. What were some wins, lessons, tips that you learned during your career with the Ford Motor Company?
I think Ford is exceptional at training. So from that standpoint, they did an exceptional job of training. And I got a lot of opportunities to things that I couldn't normally run, right? Like run a $5 billion sales marketing organization. You wouldn't get that if you weren't with Ford. But I think I learned that you just have to look at things, analyze them, understand what you got, and then make a decision and go forward. And sometimes Ford, we got caught up into the bureaucracy and stuff like that. But I had the great opportunity to work for some exceptional leaders. And they taught me just to look at the situation, figure out what you got to do and let's figure it out.
So you really leadership, and it sounds like some of the tips that you'd have is listen, be coachable and really allow yourself to be molded by good leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a big part of it. And just understanding what is the situation and then go figure out what you have to do and then get it done.
So you rose through the ranks throughout your career, working for different Fortune 500 companies, specifically the Ford Motor Company. How do you clearly being coachable and being willing to level up was important. What were some other strategies, just basic things that you executed day in, day out that helped you be successful in that corporate America world?
Well, I think one, you have to work really hard. That's just a given. And you got to show up. Number two is I had a passion to always try to make something better. And so, for example, I was the guy at Ford where I was the first one to take incentives to communicate the incentives to dealers. So like customer cash, APR rates, that kind of stuff. So I was responsible for all those for Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. So I was responsible for taking an old system where we used to communicate the incentives through a batch system. We would put them in a computer system and overnight they would print at the car dealership. So we were some of the first to actually go out there and post the stuff to a site for the franchisees to see. So I took all the incentives and took it off an old system and worked with a company out of New York to develop the system where we can communicate immediately incentives or upload them to a site in a way in which they could understand them and stuff like that. So that was really cool. So one of the things that I loved about the ability to get into these things is to try to understand what's your problem and look at a system and try to fix it or make it better. And so everything I did, I always tried to make it, level it up from a standpoint, make it better, make it more efficient. How do we do that?
What was eventually your role with the Ford Motor Company?
My last role was I was the general manager of the Midwest market. And so I was responsible for about 75 employees. We supported 600 dealers in 10 states. And our job was really to support these business owners, these Ford and Lincoln Mercury franchisees. And so that's what we did. And I love car dealers, obviously growing up in that business. And so it was an exciting time at Ford. Unfortunately, we had the Great Recession in 2007, 2008. And that's when I left Ford. It was time. They offered me a voluntary separation package. And so I thought I'd spend my whole career there, but it was an opportunity to go start something new. And so I left.
Nowadays, when you drive by a dealership, what are some thoughts that come to mind? I'm sure you're thinking about operational things and just nuances that the everyday person doesn't think about. Do you ever drive by dealerships and have thoughts come across your mind that pull from your career with the Ford Motor Company?
Oh, sure. I've got a passion for cars. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is to go walk a lot. It's not so much fun today when these dealers don't have any cars. Like my favorite Ford dealer, I think, has 8 new cars on his lot. So it was a difficult business before. It's a business that is continuing to change. And so I look at those dealers that have millions of dollars invested in their franchise business, that facility and all the people and all that kind of stuff, all the cars. And it's a tough business when they're not getting the inventory that they need. There's a shortage of used cars because they can't get them from that standpoint. And so you have that. And then you have the pressure from the manufacturers as they try to transition to electric vehicles. And so the model is changing. And I believe that some of the manufacturers don't understand the value of their franchise dealers. They have, I think, a huge asset and everybody wants to be a Tesla. But bottom line is Tesla does not have the network of dealers. And those dealers are the ones that when somebody has a problem with their vehicle, they send somebody out to get it, go help them, right? Like I had my car, the battery died in my garage. The car dealer came out, brought another battery, replaced it right on the spot for me. That's the power of a dealer. And so I look at those dealers and go, great business owners. And I hope the manufacturers continue to respect what they have.
Yeah, absolutely. What were some of those things that you did in that supportive role, right? You ran multiple states and support many different dealers. What were some defaults that you settled into, things that you focused on for helping your franchise owners level up?
Well, they're all very strong. I think we're trying to always do our very best with the product that we had, right? So the product is a given. The manufacturer, we give that to the dealers and the dealers have to then merchandise it. So a big part of it is this ability to, number one, market. So how are you taking your tier two, tier three dollars and leveraging them to get the best exposure, right? Number two is the customer satisfaction experience. We're always trying to improve that. And so if you could get the people in the door, you could give them a great experience, have great product, right, which is a given, then you have a chance to increase your market share. And everything is by market share, getting your more than your fair share of it. And that turn makes you profitable.
Clearly, marketing, return there, being efficient, service and the satisfaction there, all for gaining market share, which I always talk about acquiring market share. It's one of my favorite things. Just watching, for us, it's lime green signs take over neighborhoods and communities. But what were some of those leading indicators, some KPIs that you focused on that led to more market share, more customer satisfaction? What were some of the KPIs, just a few that come to mind that were important for you that you'd put your thumb on?
Well, I mean, the number one was our actual market share, right? How are we gaining market share? But then you'd also be looking at dealers' customer scores or their customer satisfaction scores. And so you want to see that we're gaining share, we are satisfying customers. And I think other things would be is spend in the marketplace. Are you spending the money that you need to do that? Are you carrying the inventory that you have? Do you have the right people in place at your dealership? So it's a combination, but at the highest level, it's literally, what's your market share? What's your customer satisfaction scores? How much money do you have in the market from a standpoint of promoting your product?
That's awesome. Well, Pete, clearly you were able to bring a lot of value to the franchise owners that you supported. And unfortunately, the recession hit, as you mentioned, and you turned away from working with the Ford Motor Company, but ultimately you didn't go back to corporate America. Why wasn't the corporate grind?
I think from a standpoint is I had a young family and I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but it takes a lot to be in that corporate world. And I loved it. It just, you can build those businesses. But the deal is that we were moving every 20 months. And it was crazy pressure, crazy travel. And it just got to the point where I wanted to stay married and stay connected to my kids. It wasn't worth the money and all the great benefits and stuff like that. And again, my blood was blue with Ford and certainly loved the people at Terex, but I always wanted to get away from it. And once I got away from the corporate world, I realized there's a whole different world out there that when you have your own business, you're in charge. So you don't have a boss. You don't have to sit through senseless meetings, right? Where if you've been in the corporate world, you could be in a senseless meeting for an hour and a half and it could have been solved in 5 minutes. And you're like, can we just get this done? To not having to deal with politics or artificial objectives like, okay, we're going to hit this market share. Why are we going to hit that market share? Because that's what we want to hit. Like, okay, are we going to hit that market share? Are we going to put additional resources behind it? What are we doing in terms of trying to get there? And so I found out that life can be, you can live life on your own terms and build something of your own where you don't have to put up with all that kind of stuff. So I kind of pinch myself every day as like, oh, I can't believe I've been blessed to be able to go do my own thing and not have to deal with any of that stuff anymore.
And ultimately, as you shared, you ended up joining Jan King Franchise Systems and became a multi-state franchise owner, a Junk King Franchise Systems. What are some lessons, some wins from your career as a multi-state franchise owner?
Yeah, I only owned it for a couple years. What I enjoyed about it is that I was a master franchisee. So as a master franchisee, your job is to go franchisees for the three states. I really enjoyed helping executives and couples go and look at investing and building the Junk King businesses. And so that was the biggest takeaway, is I really realized that I had a passion to help others explore a path like I did, how I escaped the corporate world, giving people also a path to be able to do that.
So master franchise owner, that is a little bit different than a traditional franchise owner. What are some of those differences?
Yeah, so you buy the rights to a very large area. So in my case, it was three states. And as a master franchisee, your job is to help find franchisees for those states. And the way in which you bring in revenue or you're compensated is, number one, when somebody buys a territory in your market, if the franchise fee was $50,000, you may get half of that. Or a nice way to say it is, you're getting some of your money off the table for buying that big area. The second things that your job is to help get those franchisees off the ground, help launch them. And for that, you get a portion of the royalty. So if the royalty is 6% of the revenue, you may get half of that or 3% going to you as the master franchisee. And you certainly can open up your own location, but the master is really about taking a large market area, finding franchisees, helping them be successful. And for that, you get a piece of it.
What are some tips that you would share to help somebody level up around that master franchise structure?
Yeah, you don't see much master franchises available today. You see more multi-unit ownership. Simply put, I think there's so much more money in franchising right now that most franchisors don't need the capital or the assistance from having master franchisees. Or simply put, they don't need to give up some of the action to get the capital. So there's just so much capital out there today. So you don't see many franchise systems that have a master like I did. So you're seeing more people looking to scale and build something with multi-territory. So multiple locations from that standpoint where they want to go to the Dallas area and get 7 territories or 8 territories, build those out as their own business.
Yeah, masters are definitely not very common, but multi-unit ownership is more so the theme. So Pete, share with us, what are some of the reasons that ultimately led you to become a franchise consultant?
Well, as I told you, when I was a master with junking, my job was to help find franchisees for junking. And so that got me turning. About the same time that I joined junking, I got the opportunity to become a franchise consultant. And I was kind of surprised because they're very selective in the people they take to become franchise consultants. And so I got the opportunity to do that. And that's really where I found my passion. And I got the franchise is an amazing organization, a great culture. They have exceptional training. And I really got excited about helping executives become entrepreneurs. And so that's what I started doing. I ultimately sold my master franchise at Junking so I could put more time and energy into my franchise consulting business. And I've been a franchise consultant now with Franchoice for over 11 years. And it's my passion. I do it 11 hours a day because I can make a difference in people's lives. And if I can do that, that's just an awesome life to live.
Absolutely. You mentioned that Franchoice is very selective and has an amazing culture. What are some of the aspects that go into making Franchoice so special?
I think it's one, the caliber of people. Again, they're very selective in who they take. And so it has to be a good fit. I think number two that separates them is they have exceptional training. So they take you through a pretty rigorous training. Number three is just the idea of the culture. The culture, everybody is trying to help each other grow, become better from that standpoint. And you don't see that a lot, especially as you have what we do. It'd be very easy just to focus on myself, but we're all trying to help each other become better from that standpoint. And so I think those are the three things of what makes it special.
People, training, and a community, a high-performance culture, collaboration, and being willing to help one another, more of a collaborative approach than a competitive approach, which,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, any high-performance organization, there's a competitive nature, but it's definitely not on the negative side. It's more so at a fun competition, but collaboration's at the core. And ultimately, that creates a winning organization, one that's full of momentum, and I call it the yes train, right? So lots of positivity. And what other aspects go into becoming and day in, day out being a successful consultant?
I think the biggest thing is this idea that you have to listen. And so I get the opportunity to talk to people every day and help them explore franchising. And it really does start with listening, getting a good understanding of what's important to them and what they'd want if they were going to take the path of investing in a franchise. And so that's definitely a skill. You have to be listening and asking questions and to be able to process that so that you come out of that conversation with a really good understanding of what the heck are they looking for? What would be important if you were to invest in a franchise? So I think that's number one. I think number two is this idea to teach. So my passion is to teach. I'm a best-selling author of the book, Hire Yourself. I'm a podcaster. That's what I pride myself as teaching. So I listen, understand what you're looking for, what you'd want if you were exploring franchising. And then number two is to teach you so that you are growing and you're learning as you explore this path of potentially becoming a business owner through franchise.
Listening, the power of listening. I can't tell you, Pete, how many times you've said be coachable and listen. There really is this posture of humility that I really appreciate. And clearly it's gone a long way for you. And I can't tell you how many times I talk about and appreciate at the core of business in being successful in business is humility and patience and putting yourself second and listening, especially in a franchise system as we're talking around within franchising, this posture of learning. And it's combined with entrepreneurship, which is all about freedom. But yet within a franchise system, there's this aspect, this period of learning the model. So Pete, I'm curious, you've done plenty of listening as a franchise consultant, and you've had the privilege of working with many executives that are looking to make a transition into business ownership. What are some of the themes that you hear as you're working with your clients? Are there typical patterns or nuances that you're constantly coming across?
So one of the things that I ask people is, why the heck would you want to invest in it? Why do you want to take this path of becoming an entrepreneur, investing in a franchise? What most people say to me is, I want to take control of my destiny. I want to live life on my own terms. I want to create career and income security. I want to diversify my assets and income. I want to be able to have a flexible schedule. I want to build an asset I can someday sell, or it could be a legacy for my family. I just want to make an impact in the community. I can't do that as an executive a lot of times because I'm on a plane all the time. I want to be engaged. I want to have purpose. I want to build, grow, and lead a team. So there's many different things, but at the core, it's really, they just want to kind of build something on their own where they can be rewarded for their hard work and just go out there and make a difference.
A lot of the aspects that you appreciated coming out of your career and realizing about franchising, granted, the Ford Motor Company is very much a franchise structure. So Pete, how has working for the Ford Motor Company and Junk King franchise systems, how have those things translated to help you be a better franchise consultant when you're working with your clients?
Well, I think from the standpoint is, number one, I took the path. So I left the corporate job. I left the very high pay from that standpoint and ultimately became an entrepreneur. And I took it a hard path. So I walked away from the income. I had a young family, but I walked away and started, put all my money into Junk King and no income starting out from day one, right? And so I think one of the hardest paths to do it, and it certainly can be done. I did it from a standpoint, but I do like helping people explore that. Now, most of the executives I'm working with today want to do it from a standpoint of executive model semi-absentee. So they want to keep their corporate job. They want to keep their corporate income, and they want to start the franchise on the side. They get the business going. They put a manager in place. They watch over that manager 15 or 20 hours a week. You always have to mind your business, but it tends to be an easier path. And so if I can teach people that path and it kind of explain to them and give them that opportunity to keep that income, keep that job, and you're starting a business on the side, if I can help people have a little easier path to escape or create that diversification in their assets or income, supplemental income, build something that they can eventually then capitalize on in terms of selling to supercharge their retirement, or even just have an income for their retirement. And retirement's not ceasing to work, but it's doing something you enjoy while still having a little money coming in. There's lots of different ways in which you can do it, but I think that's the biggest one.
So Pete, how do you evaluate a winning brand for your customer or for your clients?
I think one is the leadership. So I want to know who's the leaders, what's their background. Number two is, what have they done in terms of the product or service? What separates them from everybody else? What's their story? Number three is, do they have satisfied franchisees from a standpoint? So my job is to kind of get a high look at franchises, but the person that's going to invest in the franchise, the candidate, it's their job to do the due diligence. Ultimately, it's their hard-earned dollars, and they're the ones that are going to have to go through what is called the franchise investigation procedures process, a series of steps that they get the information. So I can only get a feel for the organization. I can present that franchise to the candidate, but really it is the candidate's process in which they go and evaluate that business, do their due diligence, and they have to decide if it's a good fit.
So leadership is clearly important. Differentiators in the market. You talked about acquiring market share. Clearly, the company needs to be differentiated and bring value in the market to do just that, acquire more and more market share and have a track record of successful franchise owners. What are some themes that you notice during that due diligence process that your candidates struggle with?
Well, I think the biggest one is putting together the pro forma. Ultimately, they have to put together the kind of the financial evaluation, or what do they think the business is going to do from a revenue standpoint, from expenses. And the franchisors can give them some of that information through the FD, so they can gather some of the hard points, some of the numbers. But the back end of it, or a lot of the numbers, come from doing validation calls, talking to actual franchise owners. And that's an art, to talk to business owners and develop enough rapport that you can ask them the financial questions and you get the answers from a standpoint. So I think it's one, putting together the pro forma is big. And then number two is really kind of getting a feel for the franchise owners and that validation, talking to find out, hey, are they happy? That culture. And you'll learn that from talking to the actual franchise owners. Hey, is this something that I want to join? Do I want to become a partner? Do I want to become a family member in XYZ franchise?
You said something there that I wasn't expecting, the culture piece, but even more so, there's an art, right, to pulling out information and really getting a feel for financial performance. Do you have any tips for how to go about that art during that part of the due diligence process?
Well, you're calling a complete stranger in a very short amount of time. You're going to be asking them financial questions. And what happens is people get to the point too fast. And so they want to know, how money does this business make? What's the net profit margin? How long does it take me to break even? And they're all brilliant questions. But if that's what you start with, and you'll hear that on group validation calls. I mean, it's just like, you're like, come on. So the biggest advice I give people is one, build rapport. Build a rapport, create a connection between the franchisee and you that you're talking to. And it can be simple as, hey, how did you get into line painting? Right. So it's building that rapport, and then it's kind of easing into it by asking important questions that aren't intrusive. Example might be, how was the initial training? How was the marketing? Right. So we want to build that rapport, continue to build the rapport, ease into the questions, and then we can ask the financial questions. And if we put our work in up front, we got a pretty good chance of getting the answers to our financial questions.
And clearly, this is the value that you bring to the matchmaking process. It's not as easy as XYZ and boom, you have a franchise. The franchise is awarded, and clearly you are investigating family and a culture. And there's so many elements that go into evaluating the business, and there are so many options, and how you go about it is an art. And so, my goodness, Pete, do such an incredible job, bring a tremendous amount of value to people that are looking to diversify. And clearly from your background, you can relate. So Pete, you also have a podcast show called Hire Yourself. I've always wondered why the name Hire Yourself.
Yeah. Well, again, my best-selling book, Hire Yourself, for obvious reasons, right? So, and I set out with the book Hire Yourself on a mission to help corporate executives take control of their destiny, live life on their own terms, and build wealth. And so that's a book that educates people. It gives them a path to escape the corporate world, kind of like I did. So it's the blueprint. And so as a kind of an extension to that best-selling book, I really do enjoy educating and helping people explore franchising. And so the podcast gives me the opportunity to talk to industry leaders, the head of franchise systems, like you were on my Hire Yourself podcast, right? Great people like you. And then I also can just help people become better business people, right? Or this explore the path. So talk about goal setting, or how do we look at being an entrepreneur? What characteristics do we need to be a successful business owner? So I look at it as a way to continue to encourage people to explore the path of escaping the corporate world or building wealth through franchise ownership, but also a way to make an impact in people's lives.
And that stemmed from your best-selling book, Hire Yourself, or the podcast came first?
No, the best-selling book. Yeah. Came first. That's the foundation for everything, Hire Yourself.
So from the book, which is a blueprint in this fast process, complicated, but I'm sure you simplified it in that blueprint. But from there, I'm sure there are, my gosh, so many different topics that you can bring on subject matter experts and dive in on this aspect or that aspect. What are some topics that come to mind, some favorite topics from your Hire Yourself podcast?
I like to one, talk to industry leaders like yourself. So if I can have you on and you tell your story and what makes Lime so special, right? And it's not a commercial for your franchise system, but rather it's for people to kind of get to know the leader of an organization, to understand what makes them special as an organization, as an individual, from a standpoint. So if I can do that's great. But number two is if I can give people fundamental skills or training, like if I want to fund my business, how do I do that? Well, I have a funding expert come on and talk a little bit about all the different options that you have. Or one of the big things tied to success is goal setting. So we do a, for lack of better terms, a podcast episode on goal setting. So it's really about kind of just bringing great content to people to help them grow, to learn about franchises or just grow as business people or overall people?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Goal setting. So simple, but again, one of those fundamental components of being a high performer and successful in business. You tie that along with being humble and coachable and listening, some of the combinations that make successful entrepreneurial journeys. So Pete, you've clearly had a vast background and career in franchising and you're still in it. So Pete, why do you love franchising so much?
I like franchising because I look at it as entrepreneur light. There's so many people that want to become entrepreneurs, but they don't have the big idea. They don't want to put in the hard work to figure out what the business model is and all that kind of stuff. They want to take the path, but it's not that easy. So franchising is a path that somebody has come up with the idea. They've built out the business model. They've tested it out. So they've got a system. And so you, as the, for lack of better terms, executive or the individual, you bring your business acumen. You bring your capital and you leverage your experience, your capital into business, and you follow that system, right? So it's designed. I don't have to be an expert in painting to become a line painting franchisee. No, do I have to have some acumen and some leadership skills and some capital? Absolutely. So I come into a great franchise like line painting and I follow the system. So you tell me to do this and this. I follow the system and I suspect I can make the system better. At a minimum, I got to follow it, but I got to make it a little better from that standpoint. And if I can do that, if I can bring my skills and follow a system, I'm going to make less mistakes. And less mistakes saves me time, it saves me capital, and it improves my chance of success. Now, is a franchise guaranteed success? Absolutely not. But it improves your odds, and I'll take the improved odds by leveraging a good franchise system.
Yeah. My gosh. Well said. I'll add to that a little bit. So much of business is about competing. And from a startup standpoint, a new idea or a new business, you're competing with established businesses that have already taken the arrows in the back, made the mistakes, lost the money, the time, figuring out the winning formula. And frankly, customers really don't care wanting to put their money where they're going to get the best value. And so as a traditional startup business, that makes it very difficult. And so in a franchise, that's already been done. And that playbook, that blueprint is there for how to execute on the business model. You add in the training and the support and all the departmental aspects from the marketing and the finance and the technology. That's all done. It's more so plugging into the system. And as you said, using your experience, coachability, and ability to execute to become a successful franchise owner. Granted, that doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to innovate and improve the business model, but it's so paramount to exercise that humility in that early season as you're adjusting, transitioning, and ultimately learning how to execute in a competitive marketplace within a business model, winning formula. So Pete, it's truly been a pleasure. I feel like I could just talk to you for so long about all these different elements of business and franchising and high performance. I really hope that our viewers learned some things and leveled up. If anyone's interested in getting in touch with you, Pete, how could they do
that? You can certainly go to hireyourself.com and just put in your information from that standpoint. It's probably the easiest way to do that.
Awesome. Well, Pete, thanks for joining on the show today.
You got it. Thanks so much, Nick. It's always a pleasure getting together with you.
Well, if you enjoyed this show, please like the show if you'd like to continue to level up with myself and our guests. But more importantly, go into the comments and contribute to the conversation. We talked about so many different elements of business and franchising, high performance today. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.